Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The USD Center for Professional Development offers courses for those looking to solve problems, make connections, and reach new levels of professional and personal development. Laura Vosted is a learning and development manager at Raven Industries. She designs and facilitates learning solutions for all levels of the organization. Her upcoming workshop looks at something we've all struggled with, conflict. So if you've ever been angry or hurt or upset, this conversation is for you. I think that's everyone, right, Laura?
I believe that's a true statement, definitely, Lori. I think we've all had plenty of experiences with conflict, both personally and professionally.
What does a situation where, similar to what we're going through now, where everything sort of changes, and what I'm asking here is, when routines have to shift, when workflow has to shift, when everything is up in the air, how can that fuel it? I mean, more conflict at that time is what I'm assuming, but that might not be true. What's your experience with massive change and disruption and what it does to the natural unfolding of conflict?
I think it does add conflict in the sense that, you know, conflict comes when we have differences of opinions. And when we're in situations like this that are extremely fluid, that we all, I'm going to say, lack experience in, and we're not quite sure how we're supposed to behave, how we're supposed to act, how we're supposed to think. There's so much information around. You get into information overload. I think it clouds conflict and makes the conversations, I would say, more difficult because we're not sure what we think at the time. And we're trying to form opinions as we're taking in the information because we don't have the background or experience to draw from. So as you're trying to take information in and form them into opinions at the same time, I think it makes it harder to engage in conflict and even know what resolution of conflict might look like.
Hmm. And that can be a new job, someone in a new management position, you know, any kind of change in an organization, a new product or program or launch of anything. So often we're on unsteady ground that I'm wondering if conflict can be healthy. I mean, is it always a bad thing?
No, I do not think conflict in itself is bad. So, you know, if you think of the definition of conflict, Lori, and the way I define conflict is a difference. It's a difference in ideas, a difference of opinion. It could be I have different belief systems than the other person. So based on that definition of conflict just means difference, I think it should be good. And I do believe that what makes it feel bad is our intentions behind it or our response to it. And, you know, just to talk a little bit about that, you know, if I have a different idea than another person, I have to look at what's my intention behind that. And if my intention is to belittle another person or to prove them wrong, that's going to feel like bad conflict. But if my intention is to explore that difference and to come up with a better idea and to see if we can get to the best idea, then that can be really good, healthy conflict. So I do think conflict is good, and I think we can go about conflict in a healthy way, and we need to, because if we aren't willing to explore differences, then we're never going to get better. And I think some of the most innovative companies are the companies that not only invite conflict, but actually mine for conflict. They're looking for those different ideas. They're looking for the different opinions. they're trying to find that best solution instead of just advocating for a solution, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Now, clearly, if this is something that you're, you know, teaching and guiding others through, that you believe this can be taught. But let's dive into that. And can we learn to be better about how we handle conflict? And how do we go about that intentionally?
That's a great question, Lori. And I do think it can be learned. I'm disappointed we aren't able to offer classes this summer because of the COVID-19. And so I'm, you know, excited to be able to talk to you a little bit about it today. But I definitely think going about conflict can be learned. And I think we learn it by, first of all, understanding ourselves. And we always talk about with emotional intelligence, it always starts with self-awareness. So you have to be honest with yourself with what are your intentions. And if you're going to express a different idea or a different opinion, you have to ask yourself, why am I expressing this difference? What is my intention? And once again, if your intention is self-serving, it's probably not going to go well. But if your intention is more holistic of I am expressing this idea because I truly want to find the best solution, then I think that's going to be good. So you have to be authentic and honest with yourself about your intentions and own that. And then you have to be willing to learn how to reach a state of discernment, which is you have to learn that I can be open to other possibilities. And part of that is to learn that there is a continuum that happens between right or wrong or good or bad. So many times we get polarized in our conflict and we say, okay, well, this is right and you're wrong. Mm-hmm. Well, you need to discern and say, you know what? Part of what you're saying could be right and part of what you're saying could be wrong. And so am I willing to explore that? And the other piece is you have to get to a point where you're willing to say, you know what, we can have two opposing thoughts, and both of those thoughts can be true. And the example I use in class, and I wish I could be in a class right now, is I hold up a beach ball with multiple colors. And I'll ask people on one half of the class, what color is the ball? And they'll say green and white. And I'll ask the other people on the other half of the class, what color is the ball? And they'll say red and blue. Guess what? They're both right. It depends on your perspective. It depends on where you're coming from, whether the ball is green and white or red and blue. So I think we can teach and we can learn how and understand that there is a continuum of discernment that we need to place ourselves in, and that we can have two opposing thoughts and both of those thoughts can be true or have some truth to them. And so I think those things can be learned if the person is willing to take that leap of faith and trust and I'm going to say explore their own self-awareness. Mm.
The willingness to do that and the willingness to seek out the kind of training or reading the books or you know, being in the class when these classes start up again, what can that do for someone's career? And from the business perspective, people, you know, businesses who are sending people to that kind of training or having trainers in, what kind of difference have you seen this can make for the success of an individual in their career or the success of an organization?
I think, Lori, it can make a huge difference. As people start learning these skills, it really starts opening up their ability to contribute in meetings, to be a positive force in conversations, and it can start taking conversations and idea sharing to all new levels, because the more we can be open to possibilities and we can spend more time in a state of inquiry and curiosity and learning and less time in advocating and trying to be right and trying to strive just to one solution, it opens up a whole new world. And I think as people learn these skills, they become more and more valuable in meetings, in strategic planning, things like that. And then, of course, as companies do that, they become more innovative and they become more solution-oriented, and you're focusing less on problems and you're focusing more on let's just get to the best solution. And I think it has a huge impact on careers and on businesses when you can leverage conflict. Pat Lencioni has wrote a lot of books about this, The Advantage and The Five Dysfunctions of a Team, about how critical that is to be able to engage in conflict. But as he says, it takes a lot of trust, because I have to trust that when I bring up a different idea or I bring up a different opinion, it's going to be respected and it's going to be valued, and that I, as a person, will continue to be respected and valued. So it all sits on the shoulders of trust.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about, validation for some of those ideas. When you talk about companies, you said something earlier about companies who mine for conflict, and then you just mentioned trust, and it seems like it's easy, it's not easy, but somebody might come up with an idea and then sort of inadvertently be invalidated in that idea and be silenced. What are some of the ways that we can all listen to others when there is an idea that's different from our own? When someone says, no, that beach ball is green and white, what are some of those signals you can send people that say, I hear you, I value what you just said, even if I don't understand it yet?
That's a great question. And I think it goes back to Stephen Covey's, I think it's who had said it, is you have to speak first to understand. And I know Jill, I think, talked about this earlier in one of your segments about getting curious. And, it is all about seeking to understand. And people just need to know that they've been heard. A lot of times it's not that I need you to agree with my idea or that I need you to support what I'm saying, but I do need to know that you heard me. And the way I know you've heard me is when you've asked the right questions, you've asked the deep enough questions, and you've been able to explain to me how you're perceiving my idea. So, and once I know I've been heard, then it's okay if we don't choose my idea, because I know everybody heard and understood it. And no, it doesn't have to be the best idea, but I do need to know that I've been heard. And I think, when we talk about mining for conflict, it is that situation where if you're in a meeting and somebody is holding back, that they haven't shared, they are being quiet. They may be sending some body language or facial expressions that say they have some concerns. You need to seek that out, because so many groups get into what's called groupthink, which is not a good thing. Groupthink is when we all just start going down that rabbit trail and somebody comes up with an idea and everybody says, oh, yeah, that's a great idea. That's super. Yeah, let's do that. And pretty soon, everybody's just going in one direction. When you have somebody that's not looking as if they support that direction, you need to call on them and say, hey, it looks like you have some hesitations. Can you talk to us about that? Or if you haven't heard from them, what are you feeling? And please let us know your honest opinion of this idea. We're interested in your perspective.
Yeah.
So it is asking people.
Yeah, seeking to understand. A tip people can put into use today as they await some of these courses and these wonderful training opportunities to kick in the future as we can all be a little closer together in person. Laura Vosted, Learning and Development Manager at Raven Industries. We've been talking about some plans for the USD Center for Professional Development, which are always underway and hopefully we'll be back full speed soon. Laura, thank you so much for being here. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Lori.